Happy Easter, and welcome to our Easter Sunday podcast. In the email with the link to this podcast, you will have found suggestions for a number of hymns and songs you may wish to use through YouTube, and that have been chosen to fit in with this podcast. The first two hymns are Jesus Christ is Risen Today and Thine Be the Glory, two great traditional Easter hymns. They're the hymns being used by Sing Resurrection, and you may wish to turn on the music, open the windows, and join in at the top of your voice to remind your neighbours that this is Easter. Sing Resurrection is timed to begin at 10 a.m. And I gather that Premier Radio are using the same two hymns at 10 a.m. as part of their broadcasting schedule. I've attached details of Sing Resurrection to the email with the words of those two hymns. Do please note that Jesus Christ is Risen Today is generally sung with just the first three verses, and this version has a fourth, which you may not find accompanied. After that, we proceed in much the same way as usual. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. He still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
In this prayer from the Iona community, when I say, "Hallowed be your name," will you respond by saying, "Hallowed be your name"? Let us pray. Lord God, early in the morning when the world was young, you made life in all its beauty and terror, and you gave birth to all that we know. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a cradle announced that you had come among us, that you were one of us. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good, for being God. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen. That you came back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, in the multicoloured company of your church on earth and in heaven, alone but together, We celebrate your creation, your life, your death and resurrection, your interest in us. So to you we pray. Bring new life where we are worn and tired, new love where we have turned hard-hearted, forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded, and the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are the prisoners of ourselves. To all and to each where regret is real, God pronounces pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the circumstances of this particular Easter celebration in 2020 are totally different to those we expected when we celebrated your birth at Christmas just 3 months ago. We're so aware today of the arrangements that have been made to safeguard the nations from the worst effects of COVID-19. And that they mean that as we take our hour of daily exercise, we understand what it must have been like for the disciples gathered together behind locked doors that first Easter. All of them, to a man or woman, devastated, stunned by what had taken place, overwhelmed by fear and sorrow. We understand what it must have been like for those who set out to trudge wearily home along the Emmaus Road, unsure of when they might see their fellow disciples again, confused and unsure now of the gospel, a gospel they thought they had begun to understand. But just as you came to them, risen from the dead, to remind them of your word of life, just as you appeared when they were gathered behind locked doors and said, "Peace be with you," so we invite you this Easter to come to us wherever we are, on the front line or isolated from community, and speak to us that same word of life, and give us the blessing of your peace. In your name we ask it. Amen. In the prayers that follow, would you please respond to the words, "Lord, hear us," by saying, "Lord, graciously hear us," and so making the prayer your own. Let us pray to the Lord, who is our refuge and stronghold. We pray for the health and well-being of our nation, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the isolated and housebound, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For our homes and families, our schools and young people, and all in any kind of need or distress. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For a blessing on our local community, that our neighbourhoods may be places of trust and friendship, where all are known and cared for. Especially at this time, we remember the many residential homes and care homes in Whitley Bay, and we pray that you would protect them and keep the virus out. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for our church, Whitley Bay Baptist Church, that although separated and unable to meet, we may know the uniting presence of your Holy Spirit. meeting us and meeting our brothers and sisters. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. So we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
As I prepare this reflection, it's Good Friday afternoon, and I've just read this piece published online today by the prolific prayer writer Nick Fawcett. It's the sort of thing that makes you wish you'd written it yourself. At least it sums up how I, and I'm sure many of you, feel just now. He writes this: "Lord, I prayed for the people of Wuhan at the start of this outbreak, asking that the disease would be confined to where it started, limited in its impact, soon be over. But it didn't stay in one place, it wasn't restricted to a few, and it's still going strong, if anything, seeming to gather pace. I prayed when coronavirus began to spread that it would be held in check, that measures to control it would be effective, that a pandemic might be avoided. But again, I was to be disappointed, for it's rampant now. All attempts to stop it have proven woefully inadequate. The whole world now in its grip. I prayed when it reached this continent, this country, that we could deal with it, that few would be infected, none might die, chaos might be avoided. But it seems I was wasting my breath, for thousands are unwell, hundreds have perished, and nations are reeling from one blow after another. Aren't you listening, Lord? Can't you hear our prayers? I don't understand." Only I do, of course, for this isn't your mess, it's ours. This whole sorry business being, in part at least, of human making, like so much we blame you for. You did not wish it upon us, and you yearn to help us through it. your heart being heavy at the pain we endure and fear we wrestle with. Teach me what you do here. Do listen. And in whatever ways you can, will answer. Amen. Well, to be honest, I'm just a bit fed up that my last opportunity to lead you in worship at Easter has come and gone, at least in the usual way. But given the situation we're all in together, and that's a very big worldwide we, I really have no right to think that way at all. Nick Fawcett ends that piece with the words, "Teach me that you do hear, do listen, and in whatever ways you can, will answer." So I come to this moment having asked what it is that the Lord would say to you today. And the answer he has given is the same thing he said to the woman in the garden who had failed to recognize who it was who was present with her. What he said to her, he would say to you. And what he said to her was, "Mary." And that is what he wants to say to you. Well, not Mary as such, but where Jesus says Mary to her. Insert your own name. David, Julie, Lily, David, Jill, Jane, Marjorie, Paul, Crispian, Marion, Carol, Martin, Sarah, Paul. That's just one page from the church directory. I'm sorry if I chose the wrong page and I didn't include your name, but our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need the church directory to be reminded of your name. It's written in heaven. Listen, he's speaking your name now, in this moment. And do you know what that means? It means that he can also say, as he said to all his disciples on the day of resurrection, "Peace be with you." How can he say that to you? How can you know it is true? Because today is Easter Day, and the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. In Wednesday's Word, Paul Tripp's weekly devotional, he observed this week that we're living through a period that will be a major event in the history books of the future. The time the world shut itself down to seek protection from a new virus that, for all our cleverness and ingenuity, we did not know how to control. Can't you imagine some of today's 10 and 13-year-olds being interviewed in 70 years' time for the documentary about the event so many people will have forgotten by then? Paul Tripp writes, "It's tempting to dwell on the weight of the global pandemic, but I would encourage you to step back. There's a far greater historical moment that you should be thinking about this weekend. It's the most significant event in the history of the universe. It's the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible, everything that your faith relies on, and all of your reasons for hope rest on this day. If there's not a specific point in time where Jesus walked out of the tomb, then your religion is a waste of time. The book that we call the Word of God wouldn't be worth the paper that it's written on." The first thing to be written down about the resurrection in what was to become the New Testament was not the account in the Gospel that tells the story. It's a passage written by the Apostle Paul testifying to the importance of the resurrection in the face of the fact that some, even in the fledgling church, had begun to question it. Paul states clearly that there are still plenty of eyewitnesses to the risen Christ still around then, the apostles among them. But he gets most passionate about his theme when he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14, 17 to 19, "And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith useless. And if Christ is not alive, you're still lost in your sins and your faith is a fantasy. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all others. The church exists because of the fact of the resurrection. Oh yes, it's a miracle, but it's a factual and historical miracle, and there are two important implications that can help us in the here and now of our present odd situation. First, the resurrection of Jesus means that life has begun again and can begin again every day. God's love and compassion never fail. They are new for us every morning, because he is faithful. Jesus promises us resurrection out of the world's state of spiritual deadness into a life, to be lived now, of abundance. I quote Paul Tripp again. Your heart is soft, your mind is alive, and your soul desires obedience to Christ. You have been raised to life so you can experience the beauty and glory of the gospel right here, right now. The Christian way has never been about pie in the sky when we die. It is abundant, God-given love in the here and now that overflows in loving care for our neighbour with no boundaries. That's what the Christian way is all about. It's the way of Christ. The second implication of the resurrection is found in the same passage of Paul's letter to Corinth, verses 24 to 26. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We will not only know our present experience of life with Christ here and now, but we will be secure in his kingdom for the future. It's that final moment when we will be resurrected out of this world with all its brokenness, horror, and groaning, to live forever in the world as God intended it, of righteousness and peace and harmony, where there will be no virus, no suffering, no death, no tears, no sin. We will live with our Saviour forever and ever. In that piece by Nick Fawcett, there is the implicit expression of the question in the hearts of so many just now. God, what are you up to? Paul Tripp answers, in confusing and unpredictable moments like we're now living through, you don't have to wonder what your Lord is doing. He's reigning as king, putting all of his enemies under his feet. The final enemy will be death. And when death is under his feet, he will say to the Father, all things are now ready. If this week you feel that you are confined in your room and can't get out, remember we walk with one who was locked in a tomb because he was dead, but walked out of it alive and victorious over death. This week, may your heart be filled with hope and joy, knowing that Jesus did, at a certain point in time in history, walk out of that tomb victorious over death. Jesus calls you by name and says, know my peace now and forever, because I am with you and will never leave you. And we can respond like Mary, my teacher, my Lord. When everything was dark, and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love dance and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of new life that shone in the first witnesses of resurrection. We praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life, hope, and joy will live in us each day, and that we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.